Caesar was a great man, but Caesar had his day. In this day of a bad economy, high unemployment, bad government, corrupt executives, we need answers. Do you have questions? Want politicians in care? Want someone to stand up for your rights? Find out what's really going on? I have one man that will do that, and his name is Albert Lewis. The Radio Revolution starts now.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Albert Lewis Show, Uncensored Talk Radio without the rules. Glad you can join us. If you're joining us over blogtalkradio.com/Albert Lewis Show, we welcome you. And also those of you from bbsradio.com/The Albert Lewis Show, glad you can join us as well. Today, we're going to take a fact or fiction research on President Obama's speech the other night. Is it the same old politics as usual, or is there something new? And what I want to do is I want to find a fact-finding mission on this, because whether Democrat or Republican, it's all the same old thing. And you know what? We are Americans. We are a lot smarter than that. You can't pull the wools over our eyes. And also a story about, you know, I often talk about the education system here in America, and you got to believe this one. In New York City, you know, whenever street signs are put forth, they are, you know, the municipalities take care of them. So here is, excuse me, I happen to be a little bit having a cold today, but here's an example of the word school being misspelled. And they spell it S-H-C-O-O-L. And they spell crossing X-N-G instead of I-N-G. And I go often to talk about the education system in America. And I happen, by the way, to be a product of New York City Board of Ed. I was born and raised in New York City and went right through the 12th grade and went up to college from there. But today, this was back in the 1980s, early 1980s, but today, the school system, my God, and listen, it's the Department of Traffic, and then there's the Department of Environmental Protection. But here's this. There's also the high school, which is right across the street from the school crossing. And nobody noticed this for about 6 months. Is it a reflection of education here in America? Oh, we get to that story, too. But anyway, getting back to the political stuff, facts. The president made a good speech the other night, and it was motivational, but what about the facts? And what about the facts that even the Republicans, they're all talking? And this time, I here on the Albert Lewis Show, elected to find some of the facts, because we, as Americans, we're a lot smarter than that. And I want you to go over that with me. By the way, my email is albertlewisradio@aol.com. Our website, not up yet, but will be up soon. We're still working pretty hard on that. Once again, albertlewisradio@aol.com. We spell Lewis, L-E-W-I-S. And you can also Facebook and Twitter us at Albert Lewis Show. We spell, once again, Lewis, L-E-W-I-S. And yes, there are two S's in Albert Lewis Show. I had some of you, especially personal friends, contact me that they couldn't get on Twitter or whatever. Yes, there are two S's there. It is what it is. It's Albert Lewis Show. So you can contact me that way as well. And once again, welcome to all the listeners. You're more than welcome to leave comments and so forth. And by the way, it's being sponsored by yours truly. All right. If you're looking for a speaker, an event speaker, or an audio book producer, you can contact me on my email at albertlewisradio@aol.com. And I'll be more than happy. Yeah, I love speaking engagements. When I get when I do my speaking engagements, I really get animated. I really get I become a super portrait of a person. I use my arms. I use my legs. I use gestures. But you know what? I get the point across really, really well. And I love doing it for corporate America and nonprofits alike. It's a great way to get your message out. And you have a professional like me doing it, huh? At a fraction of the cost. So just contact me at albertlewisradio@aol.com. We spell Lewis once again, L-E-W-I-S. Before we get to the president's speech, I don't have any sound bites today because that was done on purpose. But what I have done is I amassed research. And doing that, I got a lot of tidbits and information about the president's speech the other night on what is true, what is not true. You wouldn't believe it. But anyway, we're going to go into that in just a couple of minutes. But this was interesting with me because I call it, I did a series last week, What the Hell is Wrong with People? And you know what? Let us continue with that. Just with this theme. In New York, everyone who's ever gone to school should know how to spell the word school. But someone who plastered a school crossing sign on the streets in front of a New York City high school got it wrong. It was reported while letters in front of the Martha Val High School on the Lower East Side says school X-ing, and they spell it S-H-C-O-O-L, and then X-I-N-G. A spokesman for the Department of Transportation said the error was made by a utility provider, not by the city. The New York Post workers apparently cut into the asphalt through several months ago and to get the underground utility line. So when utilities or contractors perform work on a city street, they are responsible for restoring it correctly. The Department of Transportation spokesman says the error will be corrected. But come on. Think about it, folks. Even those of us with ADHD, just like me, hey, I get it wrong sometimes. But this is a job. This is something you're doing out in public. This is something you're putting out on the streets. Are you telling me? Here's what you're telling me. That means whether a city contract or whether the Department of Traffic in a city, no supervisor checked over the work. No one re-went over the work. Now, let's not forget, folks, these are millions upon tens of millions of dollars of city contract. And yet, oversight seems to be absent. So this is what this tells me. Besides the person, and I would say besides the moron who actually spelled this, but I really don't want to be cruel because, hey, listen, we all can make mistakes. But what happened to the oversight? What happened to the person who was supposed to check their work? And what about the contracts when they're put together, when they're put forth, when the proposals are handed in to the city for these contracts? What happened there? That's just totally embarrassing. Now, is it because the education system failed us? Or could someone blame an immigrant? Perhaps an immigrant from another country had the responsibility of putting those words there. And he just didn't know how to spell. Well, what's an immigrant doing on a city contracted payroll? What about schools? Aren't they checked? But anyway, I just thought that was hilarious. In front of a New York City high school at that. And no one reported it. To now, of course. But after that. But anyway, I just thought that was a very interesting story. Just to bring up, and goes right back to our education system here in good old America. As a matter of fact, Obama talked a lot about America this past speech. And what I had the liberty of doing, ladies and gentlemen, I had the liberty of finding the facts. And yes, I took this. As a matter of fact, I forfeited recording sound bites so that we can discuss this. And once again, you can send your comments to ourlewisradio@aol.com. I'll get it. Okay? And I took the time to find facts about the speech because, listen, I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I'm not left. I'm not right. I live under conservative values because they make the most sense. But it's not about that with me. It's about doing the right thing with me. And me, personally, only one man's opinion, I think as long as there's money in Washington, we, the people, will never be represented. Because we are not going to send in the hundreds of millions of dollars that these entities need, that these political entities need, in order to run for office. They get their millions of dollars through special interest groups, through lobbyist firms, through big business. So when it concerns you and me, the average person, whether he be poor, upper middle poor, lower middle poor, middle class, upper middle class, and perhaps even some of the lower rich people, we are not represented. It's been like that for years, for decades. And I don't know if you see it. I see it. We're only a device to pull a lever so one of these clowns can get into office. That's all we are. This is why I'm discontent with what choices we have. On the Republican side, what, Mitt Romney, a big Bain capitalist? Hey, listen, I don't mind capitalists. I'm an entrepreneur. I also believe that if I work hard to get something, if I work hard to create something, then by golly, I should be rewarded with my hard work. But I don't need anyone, government or anyone, to take the money away or to legislate what I have to do in order to do that. We don't need legislation taking some of those monies away, like this silly, what I consider, what is that, the pollution bill. They call it something. I'm going to call it the pollution bill. Listen, in this country, if we emit pollution, we've went through our revolution already. We went through our industrial revolution. No one could have told us here in America, you cannot have these, stacks, smokestacks, fumes, smoke, that you cannot have that. No one came and told us that. Especially in the mid-40s and 50s, when we had the Industrial Revolution in this country, with steel mills and everything else. No one could tell us what to do. And yes, the pollution. Remember Los Angeles? When you had smog all over the place? Nothing but smog all over the place in Los Angeles. Well, that was part of that revolution. You didn't have an outside entity telling us what we can or cannot do. We did it. We grew. We became prosperous. So we cannot go into an era that we here in the United States cannot go to India or to China and other countries and tell them, hey, you guys cannot pollute. It's not a good thing. And then somebody needs to explain to me when we have had these, because they're talking about global warming. Well, what happened 600 years ago, 1,200 years ago, 1,800 years ago, when we had global warming? We didn't have SUVs or factories then. And you still had global warming. So my thing is, you cannot penalize companies here in America to simmer down on the smog spewing and legislate that. I can understand voluntarily. But here's the bottom line, folks. If you control every cloud of fume in America and you are able to eliminate pollution in America 100%, you cannot make the rest of the world do it. You cannot tell the rest of the world they have to do the same. It just isn't going to work. So we got to let go of this notion that we're going to penalize American companies if they continue to pollute. I can understand in a voluntary way. Hey, listen, companies, let's do something to sort of stop this pollution. I can understand that. But to mandate it, legislate it, that's not tax dollars there, folks. You know what that is? To me, and it's only my opinion, that's downright extortion. How are you going to make my company, who produces wood frame products, tell me I have to pay this carbon tax? That's just tax. You're just extorting money. You're just like my daddy's out in Brooklyn. Come around, hey, why don't you donate to this organization? Well, I don't think I can donate to that organization, mister. I mean, I don't have enough money myself. Well, I would advise you to donate to this organization because something bad can happen. Maybe the store burned down. Maybe somebody might come in and rob you. But I tell you what, if you donate to this organization, chances are that's least likely to happen. Oh, my God, we live in a world. But I love this. I still love America. But I'm exploring. I think last week I did a piece on that we are number 10. And I have that list somewhere. I'm going to find that list again. I have that. You know what? I do have that list. Wait a minute. Let me go to my paperwork here. I have that list somewhere. Boy, I had to take off my headphones here. I have my list here somewhere. Are the best days of America behind us? I think I have that list here. It was a research piece done by the Nation and Prosperity Index and all that. So let me just bring back that article, put this stuff away over here, and go over that a little bit in case you haven't heard it. But you can go back to the archives if you're listening to us through Blog Talk, our on-demand program, and listen it through there. And if you're on BBS, you can click on the archive button and listen through there. All right, got my facts. Got my facts. Where are my headphones? Okay, here we are. Okay, so let's get to this fact-finding mission of the Obama speech the other night, the State of the Union for this year. Okay, here we are. Oh, this damn cold is killing me. Okay, here we are. Fact or fiction, number one. The booming economy, Obama's jobs story. All right, did the economy create or cater before President Obama's inauguration, then rebounded since his policies took effect? In other words, did it bomb before he became president, and then it rebound after? Well, it seems unlikely that the president would utter inaccurate jobs numbers during his State of the Union, but while we wait for the official White House citation, the president made at least one more claim that, for now, it looks iffy. All right, he says, in the 6 months before I took office, we lost nearly 4 million jobs, and we lost another 4 million before our policies were in full effect. Those are the facts. But so are these. The last 22 months, businesses have created more than 3 million jobs. Last year, they created the most jobs since 2005. 4 million jobs were lost in 6 months before Obama took office. Looks like this total is far short of the 4 million. Subcontracting the total employment listed in January 2009, the Bureau of Labor Statistics employment report from the same total in August of 2008, one arrives at 3.3 million jobs lost. Another 4 million jobs were lost before the policies took effect. Using this Bureau of Labor statistics table, starting at February 2009, the sum of monthly job losses surpassed 4 million in October of 2009. President Obama's stimulus was passed in February of 2009, though it took notoriously long for that money to make its way out the door. 3 million jobs were created over 22 months. More jobs created in 2011 than any other year since 2005. That's what being said. Using the total number of employment, Obama's numbers don't hold up. According to the same BLS table, the economy added 2 million jobs over the last 21 months. Counting backwards, the next 3 months saw job losses. And 2011 saw more job growth than any other since 2006, not 2005. But PolitiFact notes that Obama's statement was accurate. He was talking about private sector jobs. Okay. So there, I guess he scored points for being somewhat accurate. There, he scores points for being at least close. I can take close. As we hold these politicians' feet to the fire. All right, the next one, fact or fiction two, Obama's plan for foreclosures. And he said, that's why I'm sending Congress a plan that gives every responsible homeowner a chance to save about $3,000 a year on their mortgage by refinancing at historically low interest rates. No more red tape. No more run around from the banks. A small fee on the largest financial institutions will ensure that it won't add up to the deficit, or it won't be added to the deficit. And we will give banks that were rescued by taxpayers a chance to repay a deficit of trust. Basically telling banks, hey, listen, do this. You got to do this. Got to do this for the people. It was the people's money who bailed you out. All right. The Obama administration announced a number of programs to salvage the housing market, which continues to be a drag on the U.S. economy. Today, the president was referring to the plan he announced in October for the front porch of a home in Los Angeles. That was from a front porch and home in Los Angeles, in which has one of the highest foreclosure rates in the country. The president's plan would allow struggling homeowners who have mortgages backed by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac to refinance without getting a new appraisal or a full credit check. The program would also eliminate some risk-based fees for borrowers. The proposal altered the $75 billion home affordable refinance program, which is HARP, which was launched in 2009 to help distressed homeowners. If a homeowner's mortgage is, let's say, around $250,000 at 6% interest rate, they would be able to take advantage of the new low interest rates and refinance their home. If they got a rate that's 4.5% or lower, the homeowner would save approximately $250 a month or $3,000 a year. Given that there were 4 million homeowners who are backed by government-sponsored entity, the administration says the program could help millions of Americans. But the initial HARP program fell short of initial goals, with only about 900,000 homeowners taking advantage of it, far less than what the administration had hoped. Additionally, many homeowners who took advantage of the program ended up defaulting again on their mortgages. Now, by the way, let's not say that the banks are the problem here. There are many homeowners who knew they couldn't afford it. The president tonight, during the speech tonight, has touted his proposal of having no red tape or runaround from the banks, and there are a number of caveats in the program. Only those who signed mortgages before May of 2009 and have not refinanced previously under HARP are eligible for the new scheme. And scheme it is. The loan-to-value ratio has to be greater than 80%. Borrowers must have good credit and must keep up with their mortgage payments with no late payments in the past 6 months and no more than one late payment in the past 12 months. You tell me how many folks are there. How many folks have not skipped on their mortgage? What about the millions of folks that are in foreclosure now? They don't qualify for this thing. What about the fact that the other day came out the stats that another five, by the end of 2013, there will be 5.6 million homes in foreclosure? What about that? Haven't heard anything about that. But anyway, you know? Anyway, we have more stats coming up. The American auto industry is back. Let me tell you something. This is a joke. And I am going to tell you why this is a joke. Coming up next, right here, it's the Albert Lewis Show, Uncensored Talk Radio, without the rules. Hey, let me tell you about me. Hey, if you're looking for a speaker for your next event, is this thing on? If you're looking for a speaker for your next event, man, I do get so discombobulated at times here. Listen, you can contact me, Albert Lewis, from the Albert Lewis Radio Show, and I'll be more than happy. Here's what happens. Whether it be through a board meeting or whether you have a products presentation or service presentation, that's what I do best. I get in front of the troops and motivate them about your organization. And it's as simple as me getting up there and talking about your business. Motivational speaking, event speaking, and so much more. And hey, listen, if you're a publicist and you need audiobooks done, I do the same thing. Here's one. Very, very simple. Just contact me at albertlewisradio@aol.com. That's albertlewisradio@aol.com. We spell Lewis, L-E-W-I-S. Just contact me there and we'll make sure that one of my professional coaches get right back to you and we can make arrangements from there. So on your next event, get a professional speaker, a professional event speaker, a professional motivational speaker. And what we can do there is do wonders for your organization. And talking about wonders, hey, listen, if you're on the New York, New Jersey, or Connecticut areas and You're looking for a great set of wheels, then MaxWorldOfCars.com is the place for you. At MaxWorldOfCars.com, they have late model cars, and their cars are in great condition. And here's the kicker about them. All of their cars come with a six-month warranty. You heard right. Six-month warranty at no extra charge to you. So log on to Max World of Cars right now. I mean, what the heck? Tell them that you heard about it on the Albert Lewis Show and get 5%. Listen to me, booby. 5% off the price just by mentioning that you heard it right here on the radio show. Imagine, 5% off the price just for the mention. MaxWorldOfCars.com. That's MaxWorldOfCars.com. Great cars at a great price. All right, we're back. It's the Albert Lewis Show, talk radio without the rules. You can certainly get us on Twitter and Facebook at Albert Lewis Show. We'd love to get your tweets and become followers, too. We're looking for quite a few followers. That's Twitter or at Facebook at Albert Lewis Show. All right, and certainly email me at albertlewisradio@aol.com. Your comments are certainly welcome, and of course, that's kind of sort of the best way to get to me, too, for right now, until we get our website going. AlbertLewisRadio@AOL.com. Glad you can join us. Anyway, where were we? All right, so we dissected the speech last night, or the other night from the president. It depends on what network you're listening. Sometimes we're on a day delay, or perhaps 2-day delay. But anyway, this week on the State of the Union address that took place Tuesday evening. That's what we're talking about right now. And we're doing facts fine. Facts or fiction? Here's facts or fiction number 3, folks. I call this one a joke because till this day, they're still being subsidized by the government. So how do you say, well, how do you equate this? If I could just bring this example up to you. Let's say you have a business and you take a loan for $10,000. Let's make this simple. You have a $10,000 loan. You're about to drown, and you got this $10,000 loan from this entity, and they want their 6, 7, or even 8%. The interest rates are high because you were at risk. You were down and out, and they gave you a loan, $10,000. Now, you're owing 6% on that. Come 2 years later, you are now making $1,000. $1,000 a year. You're making $1,000 a year, and you're only spending $600 a year. My God, that's great. You got $400 on a positive profit net. You are great. You are back. You borrow $10,000. You now, 2 years later, you turn around that business. You're no longer going bankrupt. Why, by golly, you made $1,000 for the year, and you only spend $600 for the year, you are positive profit of $400. Wow, that's a lot. You've turned that business around. You are back. But did anybody talk about the 10 grand that was borrowed and the 6% that's owed in interest on the 10 grand? You still have large debt. How is it that you're successful? Now, if you paid off that debt, that's a different story. Maybe their mathematics are different. I know if I owe somebody, I don't care how much money I'm making, not until I pay that debt can I consider myself even halfway successful. Because that money's not mine. Somebody still owns that. And guess what? The American people still own General Motors. So here's a fact here. The fact or fiction, the American Motors industry being back. Says here, the manufacturing sector is a key part of Obama's blueprint for an America built to last, which outlined in his State of the Union address as a key part of the sector is American automobile industry. excuse me. On the day I took office, our auto industry was on the verge of collapse. And tonight, the American auto industry is back. When Obama took office in 2008, the American auto industry was indeed in crisis. General Motors, Chrysler, Ford, were all facing financial turmoil and seeking government bailouts in order to stay afloat. In 2009, Obama hired Steve Rattner, who served as his car czar, and to oversee the federal bailout of these three American institutions. Today, General Motors, Chrysler, and Ford have turned around. General Motors recently reclaimed its top spot in the world, top-selling automaker in the world, which was held last by Toyota. Chrysler is currently America's fastest-growing car company, and Ford recently announced plans to invest $446 million in manufacturing in Brazil. How is that a success story? Once again, let me get this one straight. I didn't see this one. Ford recently announced plans to invest $446 million in manufacturing in Brazil. How the hell does that impact us here? Wow. As part of his claim, Obama should duel his jab at one of GOP's candidates, Mitt Romney. One of the topics of the auto industry, Obama said. Some even said, let it die. Now, I'm not sure if it was Mitt Romney who said that. I don't think so. But, wow. Excuse me, folks. Nasty cold here. I hope I don't spread it through the radio. But anyway, on the topic of auto industry, and speaking about Mitt Romney, as a matter of fact, didn't Obama kind of sort of give him a prank call? I think it went a little something.
Hello.
Hello. Is this Mitt Romney?
Yes. And who am I speaking to?
Oh, this is your campaign manager. Listen, Mitt, I'm going to need you to...
Tell him to slap his own face.
Mitt, I'm going to need you to slap yourself in the face. And look, it's imperative that you do this right away. I'm telling you to do this as your campaign manager.
You don't sound like my campaign manager.
Oh, because I'm sick. I've got strep throat neck.
Say something only my campaign manager would know.
You're a huge douche. Who's next?
Oh, that wasn't Obama. that was just a piece I played last week. That was really funny. We were actually making fun of the political system, and that was one of the bits I had. I just thought it came in just in time right there, since Obama is referring to Romney. Anyway, but that's the deal with the car industry. Here's fact or fiction number four. Debt serious. Obama's plug for students. Now, let me tell you about this. This is outside of this. This is not my opinion, but this is stuff I have researched. Student loans are the next bubble, folks. The same way you had the government covering for these homes, student loans are the next big scam, in my opinion. Governments are giving, and then now student loan interest rates. There are a certain amount of entities out there who have allowed students to take loans. This is why the college industry is such a big thing, because they're getting student loans backed by the government. Listen, and the government just allowing them to do it. Now the interest rates for the student loans, I think coming this July, are going to somewhat double. So students have to now come out more out of their pockets. And what's the big thing about college? I just showed you on the beginning of the program an example of a city worker spelling school, S-H-C-O-O-L. Come on. And with manufacturing mostly out of the country, we've become a service-oriented society. Or we're becoming. I don't think you need a lot of school to be service-oriented. Now, I'm not discouraging you from going to college. I've had my couple of years of college. I enjoyed them. Didn't learn much. Life teaches you a lot more. But I think what our country need to do is to teach our, you know, since we're becoming a third world economy anyway, to teach our kids how to become sufficient in their own business dealings. That's where I see where the money is. That's where I see where the Big Bang Theory is going to be. Teach the kids to create something, whether it be a product or service, learn to sell it, learn to market it, learn to distribute it across the world. That's where the money is. But anyway, big colleges now, city colleges, state colleges, it don't matter. If they're getting the free money anyway, what the hell they care if the student graduate or not? Student has to pay back the loan anyway. But maybe a lot of you don't see that. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm paranoid. Maybe it's just me sitting here thinking like a fool. Albert Lewis, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're talking about. I just study these things. I'm just gifted in articulating this over the radio, but I don't know what I'm talking about. College is important. Well, how many of you know that there are a bunch of idiots with master's degrees, PhDs, and so forth? Oh, by the way, did you know all of these people who were in charge of the big banks and this bailout mess and the economy, who was basically destroyed by man? It wasn't something that just happened. The economy, this big recession, was caused by man. And by the way, a lot of those men and women have PhDs and master's degrees and bachelor's degrees, but they couldn't none figure that out either. Nah, but maybe it's just me. Anyway, excuse me. Serious debt. In a State of the Union speech the other night, President Obama says Congress should slow interest rates on student loans because Americans owe more in tuition debt than credit card debt. Okay, this is my point and case in hand, folks. Owing more in student debt than even credit card. And you're telling me I'm stupid. I don't know what I'm talking about. The National Center for Education statistics say 38% of all undergraduates in 2007-2008 took out an average of $7,000 in student loans. And 4% of those students had parents who took out an average of $10,000 in parent plus loans. 34% of those undergraduates took out federal Stafford loans, averaging $5,000. Subsidized Stafford loans were received by 30% of undergraduates and averaged $3,400, while 22% received $3,200 in unsubsidized loans. Tell me there's not a big sham going on there. Hoofah. More in college debt. So think about it. More than credit card. Most of us, I'm in my upper 40s. I have a credit card. Many of you have credit cards. And we know we're not maxed out, but we know we have debt. Now, who are the students? I would say far more than 70% of folks going to college, taking out these student loans, have to be young kids. So you have a small segment of society carrying a bigger debt than the majority of society when it concerns credit. Credit card, student loans are deeper. There are more student loans, more amount in student loans owed than even credit cards. I figure that's a problem for the students, but don't ask me. I'm only sitting here thinking things out, being biased, though I'm not a Republican or a Democrat or a conservative or liberal. I'm just a lonely independent. But anyway, that sounds to me like that's not good. And it's not. All right, so let's go to fact or fiction number 5. The rich, their secretaries and taxes. Treasury Secretary Geithner yesterday declined to answer a key question about the president's proposed Buffett rule. How many millionaires and billionaires pay lower taxes than their middle-class families? Once again, here's a question. How many millionaires and billionaires pay lower tax rates than their income, than middle-income families? Now, here they say the answer is not that many. Now, let's look at something of proportion. This is why I believe everybody should pay a certain degree of taxes. Let's look at things in proportionate. If, let's take Romney's example, and he made $20 million. He did it in investments. That's fine. That's all fine and well. He invested his money, and he's living off his investments. Excuse me. How do you get that? I don't care. I understand he did it the right way. But he only paid 15% on tax rate on investments. I take myself and my wife, lower middle class, and we paid 28%. Now, we don't have much, and things can be a struggle at times. Now, yes, they say that the rich pay far more the majority of taxes. That's predicated on the amount of money they make. So if they make more, obviously, they're paying more. But their percentages to paying the taxes, so in other words, their percentages to their liabilities, in my wording, is less. Because the Romney made $20 million and paid a little less than 15%, I might have made less than $100 and paid 28%. See, that's unfair. That, I would say, unfair. And they say the poor pay nothing. Well, this is why everyone needs to pay. And if you go one straight across the board, and I think this makes more sense. Excuse me. Cold is killing me, man. But I think this makes, far more sense. Let's say whether you make $10,000 a year or $45 million a year, and the national tax rate was 12%, everyone pays their share. So if you're only making $10,000 a year, you're only paying at 12%, let's say. You're only paying $1,200 in taxes. Now, to a poor person, this may hurt a lot. If you're making $45 million a year and you're paying 12% in taxes, then you're paying a lot. But everyone pays equal. Let's take that number. What is 12% of 45 million? 45 million times 12%. All right, so they're paying 5.4 million instead of what they would pay now. You know what I mean? And the rich will have it okay. They're paying a little less, but everyone is paying across the board. But you know what? Here's a part that a lot of you are not getting. You say, hey, Lewis, you moron. You just made them pay less taxes. I did not. The 12% is predicated on no deductions. In other words, by the time you look at what someone rich will pay and they take out their deductions, they may be paying far less than what you think. Let's just make it even. Maybe 17%. Somewhere along the line, you have to have somewhere even where everyone does pay their share. Now, what about the poor? Maybe the government may have programs. I don't know. But I think a straight flat tax or maybe a flat tax on usage. Everything you buy has a straight tax. So whether you buy a Chevy, used Chevy, or whether you buy a Rolls Royce or a Phantom, you're paying the same flat tax across the board on usage, on consumption. Obviously, the poor would be spending it more on food and shelter. And then the rich can get taxed on all the luxuries they have. See, somewhere along the line, it has to be fair. You can't have just the middle class paying taxes in this country. Cannot be. Anyway, that's my riff about taxes. Listen, next week, we're going to continue on this because it is a lot. And I have next week, we're going to do the fact and fiction on soaring energy and production. We're going to also look into overseas tax breaks. There we go with the tax break word. Also, fact and fiction. The tax man is heareth. Can Obama's tax the rich to save the debt? I just came up with a little idea. Also, fact and fiction. Who took on China more? Fact and fiction. The milk spill was equal to the oil spill in the eyes of federal rules. Fact and fiction. It's getting hot in here. Obama repeats the demand to tone it down. Fact and fiction 12, can Obama stimulate the stimulus and use the war funds to pay down on the debt and build new roads? So we're going to hit on those next week because we're running out of time now. Thanks for listening to the Albert Lewis Show. Ladies and gentlemen, you can certainly Twitter me at Albert Lewis Show, Facebook me at Albert Lewis Show. Your comments and inquiries about speaking engagements, you can certainly get me on my email at albertlewisradio@aol.com. We spell Lewis, L-E-W-I-S. Certainly, we thank all of you listening to our various through our various internet platforms and over the radio. And as you can see, you have police racing by my house. But anyway, to next week, where we get to do it all over again. Albert Lewis saying God bless. Take care. Hey, and I look forward to hearing from you. Don't forget to email me. All right? That's albertlewisradio@aol.com. Until next time, God bless and take care, everybody. We'll talk about it again next on the Albert Lewis Show. Uncensored talk radio without the rules.